Hey, this is Nicholas Brendan. I play Xander on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And you're listening to Potential Cast.
What do I say? This is season 5, episode 2, Real Me. As Dawn begins a journey recounting her life with the Slayer, she encounters a madman who tells her she doesn't belong, and a group of vampires led by Harmony. My name is Stephanie.
My name is Kimberly.
My name's not Gabby.
Gabby's busy stalking Tim Ainear. And I'm Illyrio. Who's the faux Gabby? Fabby.
I guess that would be me today.
Oh my god, Kelly Jo's actually here this time.
Yay!
Live and in person. Welcome back, KJ.
Thanks, Illyrio.
You're welcome. So how's everybody doing?
That means nothing to anybody, but
for the uninitiated,
people listening.
The Toronto Argonauts, who I don't know why they don't force everyone to just wear the name Jason on the back of their jersey. That would be the funniest. Are a football team in a real league where they don't need four downs to move 10 yards.
Snap.
But, you know, we take the rejects and the has-beens and the never-wears from the NFL. The CFL championship, known as the Grey Cup, the oldest trophy in sports, pro sports, was won by a team in a city that has known very few championships.
That's true. Lately.
Yeah, so did they riot? Oh, no,
please.
No, it happened
like
Sunday
five
night.
People here.
It happened Sunday night, so since everyone in Toronto had to go to the work the next morning, they figured they wouldn't ride.
It was pathetic.
You're speaking Latin. I have no idea what
Canada
you're talking
about. Canada has their
about.
Own professional football league.
So basically, the Toronto Argonauts won the anti-Super Bowl.
The anti-Super Bowl.
And the Canadian version of the Super Bowl they won. And this leading up to it, the city was crazy ramjacked with CFL fans.
Awesome. That is awesome. Because, you know, people pre-buy tickets hoping their team will go.
Yeah, and it was pretty cool. But then the game happened and Justin Bieber was here and then people booed.
Yeah, so the halftime show, I didn't actually get to watch it, but I heard about it.
The halftime show was Gordon Lightfoot, some band I've never heard of, Mariana's Trench, something Trench.
Mariana's
Trench. I like them.
And then Carly Rae Jepsen and then Kenneth Stone. She's Canadian. And then
I know.
Everyone's favorite, Justin Bieber. And every time Justin Bieber's face came on the Jumbotron to promote it, he's going to be on at the halftime show, the crowd erupted in boos.
Yeah. We hate the Biebs.
Yeah. But then I think he turned everyone around because by the end, people were like cheering and I don't know, it could have been alcohol-induced. But
alcohol-induced cheers for the Biebster.
Yeah.
Well. He did give us the gift of Carly Rae Jepsen, so you can't hate him.
I suppose.
All right, that was your moment of Canadiana for this week.
Yeah. So
I saw a Canadian movie that I hated so badly. Take This Waltz.
Oh, I rented that on iTunes, but then decided to just let it expire because it just looks sad.
Steph, have you watched Way Downtown? The one word.
No.
It's all one word.
Not
that
yet.
To me, by far, still the greatest Canadian movie of all time.
Okay.
And it's Don McKellar and a bunch of other people. And it's people that work at an office building in Calgary. And Calgary's downtown has lots of interconnected buildings. And the bet is who can last the longest without going outside? And everybody puts up a month's worth of salary. And if by the end of that movie you do not feel entirely claustrophobic and have to go outside, you have been watching it wrong. It's fantastic. And it's really crazy.
What if you watch it outside?
I hadn't thought of that.
You see, Illyrio? That's why I'm around. You guys need me.
We keep you around for the smarts. Hey!
Yeah!
I'd like to start today's show with... Really?
I know.
Really what?
Palmolive needs to get out of here. I am not a fan of this one.
It's just not the same show anymore.
Guys, and she's now, been around since day one.
And I'm sorry, narration for one thing, but narrating from your diary? What is this, the end of an episode of Mr. Belvedere?
Yes. I was screaming at my computer screen, going, she wasn't here. How's that possible? She hasn't lived in the house. How can she invite her in?
Anyway.
Really? Really? She grew up there her entire life?
Her
really?
Whole life. How old is she? How old is she supposed to be? 13? 14?
14.
Something like that. 14, yeah.
Oh, God. All right. Here's the situation. At least we have that one line from Hobo Jim that tells me that Joss knows how frustrating this is, because Hobo Jim calls her curds and whey. Where do you get curds and whey from, everyone? From cheese. Dawn is the new cheese. And Joss, I swear to God, if this doesn't make sense soon, I'm going to get into a time machine to when this would be relevant. And I'm going to write you an angry letter.
Oh. So is she the cheese that was in everyone's dream?
No, I think that's just the cheese that just permeates through the series every once in together. A while.
You guys are crazy. Don't you remember how sad Dawn was when Buffy ran away in season 2 and the season 3 premiere? It's all about Dawn being really sad that Buffy's gone.
No.
You guys have been watching the show wrong.
I must have been.
Maybe I have. Maybe I have. At least Harmony was in this one.
Oh, Harmony.
Hey, let's get into some quick feedback, shall we?
Sure.
All right, we're going to start this off with some feedback relating to our predictions. Here's something from our friend Beth.
Hello, Gax. This is Beth, and I'm calling to share one of your theories that came true. This clip is from April 17th, 2012. Episode 412, A New Man. Congrats, Illyrio. Enjoy this clip.
I don't know what to make of this. Honestly. I find it disconcerting. I think he's having a midlife crisis. And he has the wrong car for it. Although, hey, Spike wrecked his car. I can't wait for the denouement of that.
Nice, Illyrio.
Well, it was vague, but I'll take the credit. We have a voicemail from friend of the show, Paul Mackey. You thought I was going to say Tim Minear, didn't you?
I did.
Oh, no. He's gone. We're going to get to see him maybe later on our show.
Wait. I think one of these is for the replacement.
I made sure to grab the correct one, Steph. Oh, I actually prepared today.
Yay!
Oh, thank you for the sarcastic applause.
Who said that was sarcastic?
This audio file's for real me, so if you haven't watched, stop now. Really? You know, I haven't really felt the need for a Dawn-centric episode up till this point. Others may be saying it's about time, season 5 and all, but I think this is just the right time. The diary device is a nice way to see inside her head, finally. That Dawn, she's always such a silly little scamp, isn't she? And Harmony's back in town, trying to be her baddest with fresh minions and all. I never really thought before that Dawn might have a crush on Xander, but I suppose on further review it makes sense. Of course, for a Dawn-centric episode, she sure spends plenty of the last act chained to the wall. Just in time, Buffy saves Dawn, like she always has. But in this episode, Dawn gets more screen time than ever before. I know you have lots of burning questions about Dawn, and my job here, as discussed last week, is to hint and reveal as little as possible. You may want to know if Joyce will ever ease up on Dawn. I'm not telling. Will Dawn have boy trouble soon? Well, she is growing up, but mum's the word. I look forward to hearing your questions, though.
All right, here's my question. Will Dawn start going out with Phil Hope, Scott's little brother? This question must be answered. Stephanie, spoil away.
Wow. Wow.
Come on. It's going to be Phil Hope, right? So... Phil Hope?
It should have been. It should be. It ought to be.
All right. Hopefully.
No, oh. Instead it's Billy Hope, the bad boy.
One last email, and then we're going to get, one last voicemail, and then we're going to do some emails and then some Facebook feedback. And then I really, really, really want to talk about this episode and up some more.
Okay.
I promise. I'm not being ironic in any way, shape, or form. Here we go.
Hey, guys, over at the Potential Cast, it's your friend, the Observer Cast. Woo!
Yay!
These jerks. Hey, wow.
I'm Kelly Jo. Wait, aren't I already on the episode? Weird.
And this is why I don't allow my friends.
Come on!
Sorry. This is Mari. This is Aisha.
And this is Rob.
Yay! We're here to talk about the real me. Because we're supposed to be recording an episode of our show, but we procrastinate and talk about Buffy instead. Some might think, why don't you start a Buffy show instead? And we just ignore them. Isn't the real me fun?
Oh, yeah. I thought so. Yeah.
You sounded just so enthusiastic, Aisha.
She's the only one that doesn't remember how it went. Oh, wait, was that Simone?
That was me.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God, guys, we're in so much fun. I can't believe we're sending a voicemail when we're supposed to be recording our podcast on their podcast.
This is more than meta. I don't know what to make of this.
Alternate universe.
Again?
Oh, okay.
Again? Where's the mouse strippers? You want to get that reference? You gotta start listening
to Lady Gaga.
The Observer Cast.
Lady Gaga.
Hold on a second. Did that individual just say Lady Gaga?
Yes. It's the most proper way to say Lady Gaga. I started this trend on my show.
All right. And are you telling me that you guys get strippers on your podcast?
No, you see.
Because we haven't done that since season one. It's really passé.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
Well... Larry, you don't watch Fringe. You don't remember.
No.
You don't know the episode where...
I liked it better when it was called The X-Files.
You don't remember the episode where Olivia goes to a strip club and makes out with a lady stripper.
A lady stripper?
Yes.
When was this? I watched the season one.
Oh,
see, season one doesn't count.
No. All right, let's get back to this awesome voicemail. It's only half over.
Oh, boy.
Speaking of alternate universes, what's this about Buffy having a little sister? Huh? That's weird.
But she's always been there. What are you talking about?
I know.
Where do you come from?
Rob, she was with Hank in L.A. You keep forgetting those little phone calls that Joyce was telling Buffy about in all those episodes. She's like, sister's doing fine. Your dad took her to Disneyland Paris last week. You'll never want to live with us because we live in Crappydale, where the populace is eaten by vampires on a daily basis.
Oh, the vampires.
All I have to say is best David Fury episode ever.
Yep. And who knows if they're actually going to play this voicemail.
Oh, who knows?
Boy, Harmony! I wish you didn't.
Harmony!
Harmony! I agree. Harmony!
Yay!
Okay. All right, guys. Let's stop harassing with this nice, successful podcast and go back into our lair.
You guys have a lair?
We do.
Too bad.
It's a very large one, considering that Simone lives in Australia.
Dead guy. The Karen knows. That's going to be awesome.
Wait,
we have a podcast to record. Enjoy the episode.
Yay!
Well, thanks, whoever you crazy people are.
Yeah, I don't know. That one loud, obnoxious person that started the episode seems very annoying.
I know. All right, that was a lot of fun, actually. I enjoyed that.
Thank you guys for taking time out to record it for us. That was
No, Steph, you don't. We weren't joking. We were really just procrastinating talking about Buffy because they were like,
"Shh, be gracious. Say you're welcome."
You're welcome.
All right. Email time. Tom Yay! Palmer writes in, "Dear Gax, I think you mean Cax. Today we're Cax."
All right. Sure, khakis.
No. First off, congratulations to Michelle Trachtenberg for finally getting a spot in the opening credits. 5 seasons is a long time to wait. I mean, she's been there for 5 years, and yet they just put her in the opening credits now? I wonder why. Maybe
one more episode. One episode later than Anya got her big debut.
Maybe her role in season 5 will be larger. This episode was weird, though, because it spent so much time going over stuff about Dawn we already know. Like her crush on Xander she's had ever since he had the cool car in the Zeppo. And seriously, how could she be so dumb as to let Harmony in? She's been dealing with vampires ever since Nightmares in season 1, where Buffy had to explain why their dad had been such a dick to both of them. It just felt like Dawn was written differently in this episode than she has been for the last 5 years. Weird. Anyways, thanks. Love the podcast. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. That was
I
awesome.
Get the feeling that everyone who's been listening to us has been dying for us to get to season 5 so they can be all knowing and smug about why we're so upset and confused.
Yeah. To be fair, I only decided I wanted to be smug about 6 months ago.
Okay, good. Anyone want to read Luke's email?
I can.
Awesome.
All right. Luke Atkinson. Hello, Gax and guests. So, yeah, apparently Buffy has a young sister named Dawn. And this episode entitled Real Me is kind enough not to explain any further. Instead, we get to know her and see the world from her point of view. At first, I found Dawn really annoying. How she acts and seems like a jinx when trying to help. Don't get me wrong, I do have a young sister, but we get along fine. It's my younger brother who gave me a hard time, but rewatching it, I don't mind her as much. But I bet you're thinking that something's wrong here. Everyone besides Buffy act like they know Dawn the whole time, and some are acting weird around her, like Drusilla weird. Harmony has a group of minions to help her, yet no one takes her seriously, and for good reason. I mean, man, she's become much dumber as a vampire. Xander's laugh when he sees her gang was very cute. Overall, this was a decent episode that not only showed how Dawn felt isolated, but also for Harmony and Tara, though not so much for the latter. Also, things have been looking up for Giles. Not only is he Buffy's watcher again, but he has a cool set of wheels and a new job as the owner of the magic box. He has a purpose again. Well, I hope your brains are too burnt from these revelations. Just keep watching. Thank you.
Thank you, Luke.
Thanks.
Thanks, Luke.
I'll read Rachel's and then we'll move on to some Facebook and then we'll talk about this awesome episode.
West.
Hi, Gax and Guestage. I had some comments on Real Me and thought, what the heck? Share them. Nobody here was interested. So you get to hear from me instead. Number one, Real Me could be applied to many different characters in this episode. Obviously, Dawn is referred to. She spends the entire episode emoting about how nobody understands her, treats her right, knows the real me, blah, blah, blah. Is it me or was Dawn always this whiny and irritating?
Damn you always. People.
And that strange man called her Curds and Whey. Why does that ring a distant bell? Harmony is also referred to in this title. She is also searching for a new identity. outside of her relationship with Spike, she has never been able to fulfill her vampire potential. So here she is, armed with her gang of minions, trying to out-Sunday Sunday. Remember her? Yes.
Oh, God, I wish Sunday was a big cat of season 4. It would have been so nice.
Sadly, by the end of the episode, Harmony is still searching for who she is, and also searching for some replacement minions. Tara could also be referred to in the titular Real Me. We are reminded about her spoiling Willow's spell last season when she pulls away from Willow's comforting hug. Could she be hiding something? Do we know the real Tara? No, we don't. That's my theory. And I'm sure she's a demon. Come on, demon Tara. Let's kill Buffy. Let's kill someone. Let's start with Riley. And then Dawn. Yes, Dawn. And then Joyce. Deadbeat mom. All right, back to the email. I also like to think that the reference goes back to both the first Slayer in Restless and Dracula telling Buffy, you think you know who you are, what's to come. Interesting. Number 2. Could they make it any obvious that the writers and the casting director didn't get together before the filming of this episode? I have never seen a teenage girl eat ice cream in so self-destructive a manner before in front of her crush. To be fair, I doubt many 7-year-olds would do that either. But that scene just, ugh. Number 3. I love the magic box. I love that Mr. Bogarty died and that Giles read those conveniently left lying around accounting books to see just how profitable the place could be. So, that's my thoughts. Can't wait to hear yours and to see how the rest of the season treats you. The real you. Our friend Rachel Horn. Thank you, Rachel. I'm going to write in my journal tonight. Step 1, buy a journal.
I have a very important point to bring up once we can talk about the episode freely.
What do you mean freely? You mean like after we've seen everything?
No, after we've done all the feedback.
Okay. Let's see if there's any stuff on Facebook.
There's plenty of stuff on the Facebook group.
Bob DeGrand says, finally the long overdue Dawn episode. I'll keep going. Selena Wilkins says, Harmony was the best part of this episode. Honestly, though, I really like it because it's so jarring. It's so over-the-top team drama and very different to Buffy's usual style. It really feels like a whole different show in which this random-ass Dawn person is suddenly the main character. And I think that was exactly what the writers meant to do. I was left far more confused after the episode than I was after Buffy versus Dracula.
Dylan says, I kind of like it when the focus of the show shifts from Buffy to some other character for an episode or two. And this episode shows a completely new dynamic between Buffy and Little Sister. Or is it an old dynamic? Either way, what's important to note is that Giles now has to find a way to break the Spinal Tap drummer curse. I'm sure there is a spell book for that somewhere in the shop. Harmony has minions, says Diana Gordon. And Ruffles have ridges. This is still going to make the potentials annoyed. Annoying sister, yes. And? Selena says it's true, and they're not going to make it easy for us to like Dawn either, are they? Jesse likes Dawn. Selena says, I like Dawn too, but I think they're intentionally making her annoying right now to make us empathize with Buffy. I don't know about that, folks. Listen.
No.
I think what's really annoying about Dawn is she's never been on the show before.
Yeah.
You guys are crazy. I agree with Robin Burge and say, I've loved Dawn since season 1.
He better be talking about the dish soap.
He's a fabulous dish soap. Illyrio, and I'm so glad you brought it up because I am sponsored by Dawn.
What?
So
we don't sponsor this show.
Oh,
we don't. We this is not a commercial show.
Oh,
no, there will be no buzz marketing on our podcast. Tammy says, "I've always enjoyed her too, Robin. Dawn has her bad moments, but when she called Faith out in season 3, it was a thing of beauty." And I enjoyed this reintroduction to her character here. Breakfast montage was aces. I enjoyed the breakfast montage.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, I liked it.
I like the what's the word?
Delicatesse?
Shoot, I can't think of the words. It's very. Dang it.
Dainty?
What?
Dainty, delicate?
The minutia of it.
Oh, yes. The attention to detail.
Yes.
Mm. I like all the sideways glances. Because she even knows that she's not supposed to be there.
Yeah, there's got... anyway. Valpa says, fashion faux pas alert. Joyce's giant safety pin on her vest with a leopard print shirt. What the hell? At least she changed for her art showing that night. Tara thinks Xander is a sweetie. Aw, me too. Loved Xander's verbal sparring with Harmony. He's so cute and funny. The magic box beats the crap out of the library any day. Show of hands. Harmony's minion with the bandana. Is that a guy or a girl?
Oh my god, I thought that it was a girl at first.
Yeah.
And then whoever started speaking, and then I was like, I swear it's a girl. And then it's a guy. Oh my god, thank you. So I thought someone else. Okay,
I
never
thought
mind.
It was a butch lesbian.
Yeah. A butch vamp?
Butch vamp, you know. They're very common these days.
A vamp?
What will they say, Diana says, what will they say about Anya playing the game of life? interesting fact, this Saturday night, I played the game of life.
Oh, how was it?
I actually did win $1.95 million, baby! Yeah. Danger zone!
Did you sell your children?
I actually didn't sell my kids. I didn't need to. I could have totally sold my kids.
That's how I would have played it.
Military school. Is there a difference, really?
Military school. What will they say about Anya playing the game of life? That she learned she was winning when she had money and kids and wanted to trade in her kids for money. Okay. Who hasn't wanted to do that? Crickets.
I would have.
I love Joss's description of how the car seduced him. Willow pushing Buffy to take drama with her. Just keep thinking back to the puppet show and the three of them trying to do a speech. And Willow and Restless showing up for drama class. It is a great way to see how an outsider views the group. In the end, the siblings not tattling on each other and then Buffy telling Dawn not to do anything, sitting and breathing is just fine. But will this annoy the potentials too much for them to be able to enjoy? Kimberly rants for about 6 posts. Kelly says Kim is crazy. And Grant says Harmony with Minions is really the best. And I guess Harry Potter was new then. I hadn't read any of the books at that time and didn't get the reference. Awesome. Thanks, everyone. Okay. Steph?
Yes.
Why should I stick around? Why should I not quit this right now? Like,
because,
seriously.
Okay, what did the crazy man say?
Called her curds and whey.
And he said something, I'm a cat.
Oh yeah, he's a cat. That's why I'm a cat, see?
A homeless man yelled something similar to me the other day.
Mm.
Well, he said something like, you don't belong.
You don't belong.
And I was like, thank
you.
No,
he said, I know you.
You don't belong.
You don't belong.
Someone with a voice of reason. I was like, more of him, please.
Alright. is this spoilery? Do we have to wait till the season finale before we figure it out? Don't answer. But that's what I'm wondering. If it's going to take that long, this better be good. This better be good.
What are you talking about?
Well, are we going to have to wait till the finale of season 5 for the explanation of what's actually going on here with this interloper? You know what I mean? No, please don't answer. But I'm just...
Steph, now I know how it feels.
No, it's okay.
I feel like it's very satisfying. Like, I just...
Yeah.
But also, I probably watched the first quarter of the season... Or the first half of the season, all in like one sitting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what's making it really hard.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Valeria, watching 2 episodes a month makes it irritating to watch an episode?
Well, listen, Friday, I have the day off. I'm going to watch The Replacement to do a lovely Illyrian-tary. And I might actually watch the next one just for the hell of it. We'll see.
That's cheating.
No. It's not like that time where I watched 3. Oh, it was so I couldn't stop. All right.
But it's like me when you're on one episode, but you end up watching all the episodes for the rest of the season and then half of the next season.
Mm-hmm. Good. That's a good example of willpower there, KJ.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So Buffy's doing special training. Is this the new Stuffy stuff?
Yeah, it must be.
Okay, this is what I've done research. And deltoids. Oh, you've done research. Hey.
I've done research. The guy who was the stunt coordinator up until season 4, him and his wife or girlfriend or whatever, she was Stuffy. Well, he said some nasty things about Sarah Michelle Gellar on the internet.
No.
And early they days got of the fired. Internet?
Yes, nice. They got fired. And so, for the rest of the series, there are two Stuffies.
Mm.
One is like a cheerleader gymnast from Florida, and the other is somebody else, the girl that does the... I'm not sure. But anyway, there's two new ones. One that's more gymnastics-oriented.
Mm. Nice. So we get the stereotypical younger sibling bored and ruining something.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. And then the reading of the diary writing just hit me really hard.
Mm.
I watched this episode twice, you know.
How dare you?
I was really, really, really hoping that I had misheard the first time. But no, she narrates from the diary as she's writing in it. Has anyone here ever tried to do that, by the way?
Exclamation point, exclamation point.
Thanks for stealing my quote,
Kim. Oh, sorry.
I want to ask.
No, that wasn't my quote, but if you steal my quote, I'll be upset.
How large is she writing in that notebook? Because, like, it seems like a 5-year-old is writing, being like, you know, taking up half the page for like a sentence.
You know, sure. SOD is one thing that we come to
No, with. But this was very noticeable when if you watch it. You're just like, Michelle.
Who's Michelle now? I'm so confused.
Michelle is the actress who plays.
Is she related to Dan Trachtenberg from Revision 3?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't believe so.
How popular is this last name?
Popular enough.
Okay. I wonder what the etymology is. Oh, well. Yes, that's how much I was riveted to this episode, people. I'm talking about the etymology of the actress's name. The actress who plays a character who's not supposed to be on the show. I'm over it. I'm going to set it aside. And now I want to talk about the awesome. Giles has a new red BMW convertible.
Uh-huh.
Awesome.
Oh, that's so great.
Couldn't get one in standard. Lame. He is... incredibly, incredibly insecure sometimes. It's really funny. They find a dead guy. Oh, it's the owner of the magic shop. And then as soon as I saw that the owner of the magic shop was dead, I immediately said, Giles is going to take over the magic shop. And I think this should have happened last season.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I enjoyed Fun Employed Giles. But... was he independently wealthy? How did he last a year without working?
I don't know.
Like, I don't know. You know, like, did he pay cash for his house? It's weird. I don't know. Maybe he's making money on the side.
Sure.
Selling chocolates.
Maybe he had a
rich uncle who died.
Yeah, maybe his parents were.
Was he in a band in the show? Like, in the show, do they say he was in a band?
Maybe he was a kept man.
Oh.
Ooh.
I think maybe Giles has aristocratic parents.
Oh, that would make total sense.
That's what's, you know, in my fantasy.
I like imagining that Ripper was a huge underground music success and... like, still somehow makes money off that by selling random things off eBay? And be like...
did they have eBay then? I think they did.
Yeah, no, it was the late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah.
Ooh, did anybody notice that Riley doesn't look like such a young boy anymore?
No.
It's his hair.
Mm-hmm.
Slightly did different.
Did Riley
now.
Ever meet Harmony? I'm trying to remember. Because he was laughing away with Buffy like he knew that she was a real dum-dum. And now she's got minions.
She was in season 4.
I'm trying to think, but has Riley ever crossed paths with her? Like, how does he know that she's a complete moron?
He's just being he a good boyfriend, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah, I think he was just laughing at Buffy laughing.
Which is what I did, because Sarah Michelle Gellar's fake laugh makes William Shatner's fake laugh look like Shakespearean theater.
It's not that hard.
Pardon?
It's not that hard to fake laugh. Apparently it is.
Sorry, yeah, that was not very...
And what was up with that necklace? With a two-level thing? Ugh.
Oh, what bugged me was the disco metallic belt.
Oh, God.
Everything.
It's just... Anyway, so this little child not only writes in her diary and we hear her voice, when she comments about Riley... We hear her voice.
What's more childish than writing in a diary? Come on. And saying, dear diary.
Getting kidnapped and having to be rescued by your big sister?
Letting a vampire into the house?
Oh, that was just dumb. Listen, if she's supposed to have been here the whole time, how the
Which
hell
she
would she have messed up? I know, exactly. This proves that she's new.
Okay, can I just ask one thing? Like, I don't think it'll be a spoiler, but is this all a dream? Like, is she just some phantom character and then she'll magically disappear? Or is she here for the good, for the rest of the series?
Well,
I'm not spoiling anything.
Of course you are.
The character is so out of the field that it's just...
Oh, no spoilers!
Yeah, you don't want to know this. You don't want to know this.
No, we don't.
Because then they'll stop watching right now? Is that what you're saying?
No, listen. Okay, all right. Time out. I think we're at a point, Kim, where we have to be very careful about spoiler fatigue. Okay? I know it's hard. I know it's been a long time. And I know that we might get a little bit, you know, laissez-faire about spoilers right now. But I think that we're at a critical juncture here. We're at the beginning of the third to last season.
We're always SOD. But this one is just ridiculous.
I know.
She's been there the entire time. Remember her pudding phase? Where every time you saw Dawn, she had a cup of pudding.
I just think it's so ridiculous that even Tara's like, I feel so bad for Dawn. I don't understand why she feels like such an outsider.
I know what you're saying.
Oh my god. And then when she, on the street, when she was like hugging Willow, Willow's my favorite. You've met Willow 4 minutes ago. How is she your favorite?
This just dawned on me.
No pun intended.
Well, you know.
I think that Willow and what's her face conjured her up. And she's just she's one of their spells. it's just a big joke they're playing on everybody.
You guys remember.
Including us.
You guys remember The Wish.
Mm-hmm.
And how Cordelia got zapped into an alternate universe.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then everybody there behaved like Cordelia was just the regular Cordelia.
Mm-hmm.
What if it's not Dawn that's different, but we're in a completely different Sunnydale.
Who, us as the viewer?
Yes, and we're coming along with Dawn.
Oh, please, don't let that be it.
Or it's one of those Jonathan spells like I said last time.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's something better. I hope it's something better.
Well, did you catch that Dawn is really getting on Buffy's nerves?
Yes.
Like, Buffy realizes that, like, never before has Dawn got on her nerves.
And I guess Buffy was the first one to realize Jonathan was off.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's true.
Maybe you're onto something.
I hope so. I just hope it happens
soon. That would be a satisfying explanation if that were the case.
If people are telling me there's going to be a payoff, I'm going to trust people.
Yeah.
Cats, though, don't trust cats. So,
did y'all notice that somebody has clued Joyce in on the Tara Willa situation?
Yes. Yeah.
Since the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
I think I like to imagine that Buffy goes, "Wait, Mom, you know that they're like together, right?" And Dawn's like, and Joyce is like, "What? No, they're just really good friends." I'm like, Mom, no, Mom.
You know,
scissoring, Mom.
You know, scissoring.
Scissors! Yay!
Don't run while scissoring.
Oh, God. Have you tried, Illyrio?
I cannot comment any further because this is going to a place where we haven't been to since, I think we, anyway.
Since
this podcast shouldn't go there. I'm sorry, but you know what? We're in our fifth season, and sometimes when we get frustrated by an episode, we're not really going to talk about the episode so much. This happens to us. And frankly, right now, I loved a lot of it, but I'm still just so weirded out by how this is happening. Like, I'm sure there's a good why, and I'm sure I'm going to be really pleased, but this is really, really weird. And I expected more out of this episode. Instead, we just get more questions.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, some kind of like regular episode stuff, you know, apart from, I mean, the only things moving forward were really Giles getting the magic shop and a new car. I mean, what else really changed here?
Nothing.
Yeah. So apart from that, it was all about, you know, hey, get to know Dawn, which you've known all along, right? Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But we have.
Yep. All right.
Drop it.
Yeah, drop it, you. Oh, yeah.
I think that there's something strange with Tara and Dawn because they have this weird connection. Maybe because they want to, I don't know. There's something weird about it. And the way that she loves Willow and loves Tara, I'm thinking that she's going to dabble in some witchcraft.
I know you don't like Dawn, but don't make fun of her because she's questioning her sexuality.
Yeah. No, I wasn't thinking of that.
I thought you guys were an accepting podcast.
I am intolerant.
I think that, no, because the way that that Tara was going on and on about her, because no one else seemed to care about Dawn.
That's true.
I was like, okay, we're going to see more of them together. Like, they're going to nurture her into their baby witch
Dawn
or something.
Dawn is actually Tara's demon love child.
Ooh.
That's what I think.
That's very random.
Why?
That's just random.
Well, you know.
It's no more random than just introducing a main character.
Okay. Let's talk about the elephant in the room, Kim.
Let's.
For those of you who haven't watched all of Lost, please fast forward about a couple minutes.
About 45 minutes. Go.
Nikki and Paolo.
Yeah.
Right now, if we were to compare.
It's on par.
It's on par? Okay.
Yeah.
I honestly think that were I watching the...
Razzle dazzle!
Were I watching the series live and I saw this, I think I would be much more upset than when Pablo and Nikki showed up on Lost. Because at least Pablo and Nikki were like still going to be like B people, right?
Like they weren't like automatically part of the A-team.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, they weren't on the A-team. I mean, what, like there were like four people on the A-team?
Yeah.
So
they did get one episode, though.
Yeah, well, to close them off,
the best episode.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So it's just one of these situations where I think this is more jarring than that. Because this is apparently someone who's... I mean, at least at least, I mean, Damon Lindelof and everything I hate about some of the recent stuff he's done, at least he and Cuse had the foresight to have Sawyer go, who the hell are Nikki and Paolo? Like, yeah. You know? And maybe, you know, and maybe Sawyer was supposed to be like Hobo Jim.
Maybe. You know?
But, by the way, great original thinking, Lindelof and Cuse, another thing you stole from Joss Whedon.
But I'm wondering if they introduced this Dawn character because they knew that they might be introduced to a whole new crop of viewers, because the show's been on, what, 4 seasons now? And basically she has, with the introduction of Dawn, it's like they reset the series.
But that's, you know, what I felt like, too, that they needed new blood. That they,
I mean, that they would have introduced Haskell. A character... That they would have introduced properly and contextualized. We have not been given any context as to why it is normal that this person is around. Don't even try it, KJ.
I will.
But it's just one of these situations where it's like, if it's so weird and out of place and everybody's pretending like it's normal, I'm really thinking the payoff's going to be huge. Hope I don't get disappointed.
I hope so.
But I'm thinking, because... like, why would you do this unless you're going to freak us out?
Because I remember when I was in school, we had to write like short stories, and I wrote this story and I had nowhere to end it. Mm-hmm. And I was just so stuck that I wrote it like it was a dream, and the main character woke up going, oh, it was all a dream. I got ripped apart by my teacher for that class, going, this is the dumbest thing you could ever do. It makes people angry, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, but I couldn't find it out. And it's like, he's like, then just don't even finish it. Just start again. And this is exactly how I felt when they said in the end of last episode, when they're like, Mom, I was like, good God. Like, this is just so ridiculous. Because we've known all these characters for how long?
4 years.
And then they introduce... a nobody.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Well, I'm okay with mysteries as long as they're not drawn out too long.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, like Lost, there was mystery after mystery after mystery, and it was drawn out, so it was just for the sake of it being a mystery.
The problem with Lost, spoilers ahead, it was all foreplay.
Yeah.
Yep.
There was no satisfaction.
Exactly. I was waiting for the Lostgasm and never got one.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a feeling that the again, Lost spoilers, that with Lost, they didn't expect it to go as long as it did. And then when it did, they were made to stretch it out, which totally diluted it and made it not as exceptional as it could have been.
And what was so bad was they refused to admit that.
Yeah. Yeah, they probably had it written for 3, maybe 4 tops seasons.
No, actually, when they wrote the pilot, they didn't know where they were going with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they gave themselves so many avenues, possibilities to take, that half of them ended up going nowhere.
Nowhere.
That was the problem.
Yeah.
They listened to too much feedback instead of just doing what they wanted to do. Just like this entire series of Heroes, but don't even get me started on that.
That show could have been so good. I was so upset. Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
I was obsessed with Heroes the first season it was on.
I know. It was awesome. That's why.
I listened to the podcast.
It was one of the greatest first seasons I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
The pacing was good. The character development was awesome. The sci-fi was fantastic. And then
the finale went nowhere.
And then Brian Fuller left the show.
Mm-hmm. Because didn't they want to... Oh, never mind. This is not a Heroes podcast.
Show. I know. Let's go talk about but you know what, Buffy Kim? Again? Sometimes this happens, and hopefully our listeners will understand that when we get to one of these weird points where it's just... It's not like I'd say this episode was bad. It was just...
It's frustrating.
That at this point, all I can say is I got to pool some of my thinking and my thoughts on this on other stuff that I've seen. So I think it's perfectly acceptable for us to bring up other TV shows that we've watched, liked, or been obsessed by.
I agree.
It's like when, Twin Peaks went off the air. And I cried because there was never going to be any finish to that. And then I was super happy to hear that David Lynch was making a Twin Peaks movie. And then I found out it was a prequel. And I cried some more. You know? It's like, it's frustrating experiences. And I know that this isn't the same kind of thing. But right now, at this moment...
You feel like crying.
This... I feel like crying a lot recently. No more than crying. Crazy. But enough about that. The idea that this is... anything but an awesome setup for an awesome payoff angers me. So that's what I'm going with. I don't want to be angry about Dawn. I want Dawn to turn into something awesome, which hopefully this ridiculous hit you over the head with a giant Dawn-shaped shovel foreshadowing at the end, which may be someone's quote, which I don't want to use, with what she says, hopefully this is going to be pretty badass. Who knows? Maybe Dawn is going to kill Buffy. And then I'll be happy again.
Then she'll become your favorite character.
Yep.
I would just Buffy's like to say, you guys are apologizing for going off topic. I would just like to say that we have been more on topic than I think we ever have been on my show.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know.
You could just blame it on me being an ad. Bad influence.
All right. Awesome. Blame KJ. Send your hate mail to...
Send your hate mail to observercast@gmail.com.
Again with the buzz marketing. I don't like this.
What, you think the voicemail was too much?
The voicemail was perfect, actually. All right.
All right, back to the...
back to the actual the episode. So some stuff happens.
I want to talk about my favorite scene.
Yes.
Where... Harmony runs into Spike.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's a great scene.
And, you know, she finds out her plan has been thwarted. How you say that?
Yeah, thwarted.
And
kid.
So she's talking to Spike, and inadvertently he gives her a new plan. Mm-hmm. She says that she's been reading self-help books.
Yeah.
She's found the real me. Mm-hmm.
Why is she the only one that didn't have the vamp makeup on?
She did.
Yeah, I know, for like 3 seconds outside the house.
Maybe it was in her contract.
Probably.
Can I just say that the fact that they bring her like little tchotchkes, trinkets is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. Her reveal was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was so funny.
Yeah.
After being so frustrated over Dawn, I was like, oh, Harmony, you're the best.
There was no slap fight.
Unfortunately. But they discussed it.
Yeah, they did discuss it. So Dawn chained up in the cave, looking all pathetic, damsel in distress. Yeah, I didn't like that.
And everyone's like, oh, she's at it again.
No.
You finally get it. You finally get it.
Yeah, I do. I thought Buffy's fight with the chunk at the end was really awesome.
Yeah.
You mean Mort?
Yeah, I just, you know. Chunk Mort? From Goonies was the guy that loved Baby Ruth, or was that the fat kid? What was the big guy's name?
I think that was Jerry O'Connell, but I don't remember his character.
No, he wasn't in Goonies.
No, Jerry O'Connell was in...
he was in Stand By Me.
Stand By Me, got it.
And Sliders. And My Secret Identity.
Canada, what?
What? sorry, Pensacola.
I used to love that show.
In the Goonies. Baby Ruth! Is that Chunk?
I think it is Chunk.
It's Chunk. What's his name? I forget if it's the fat kid's name is Chunk or if it's the guy with the messed up face is Chunk.
The weird brother.
Yeah, the weird brother.
I don't know. Let's check our phones, Kelly Jo.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Let's Google it.
So yeah, the fight was pretty awesome.
This wasn't the dream.
I loved how Buffy dusted him with a unicorn. Again, this brings me back to the point I've mentioned many times. Have I not mentioned this many times, everyone? If you're a vampire, make sure there's nothing where you live made out of wood. It's common sense, people.
Mm-hmm. I pointed that out in the last episode. Ugh.
Again, it's like, if you are allergic to peanuts, don't go to a peanut factory. I don't care how good the rent is. Don't go there.
You there is a die. Goonies too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Oh, Goonies is filmed in Canada.
Of course. Vancouver. There's all the mist and the water and stuff. Yeah, so one of my favorite scenes, definitely. But the whole idea of us coming along with Dawn and then facing danger with her, I'm sorry, I just wasn't interested.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't care less. Yeah, kill her, please. Do it. Thank you. That would be awesome. And then nothing.
I just like the frustration Harmony has over common sense. She's like, "Don't, that's not part of the plan! That's not, just listen to me!"
Yeah. And there were mutineer vampires.
Mm-hmm.
That's never good.
No.
No. All right. Well, I don't have anything else I need to say about this episode.
I think I've said enough.
Steph?
I think we have covered it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's a...
Oh, wait. Anya broke her arm.
Really?
Or got hurt.
Yeah, well, she got knocked in the back of the head.
Dawn broke Anya's arm.
Did she?
No, because she made her go outside, and then Dawn got kicked in the face.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, his name was Sloth.
There it is. Go. Chunk was the fat kid. Sloth was Baby Ruth. Yeah. And his mom was played by the woman who played Danny DeVito's mom. Threw Wilma
from the chain.
Yeah. Nah, man!
Who did what?
She played Danny DeVito's mom in Throw Mama from the Train.
Oh, yeah.
A hugely underrated film. Just fantastic. Yeah, yeah, I killed your wife, so now you have to kill my mom. What? Yeah, you know, like we talked about. What are you talking about? It's awesome. I bet someone shut me up. I'm not going to talk about the episode anymore. I'm just going to ramble on about stuff I love, you know.
Okay.
Oh, wait, I did have a question, Steph.
Okay.
I apologize. I'm scatterbrained today. Steph, try to answer this if you could. Don't need to put you on the spot.
Okay.
When we finally do get it, when we finally get that thing that makes this all awesome,
yes.
How quickly will we want to rush back and rewatch these episodes?
I don't think they'll make you want to rewatch these episodes.
No, I'm wondering if there's like all kinds of hidden messages, man.
No.
Stuff we want to rewatch and catch.
It's not complicated.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just really, it's cool.
Awesome. Yep. Okay, good. Good, good, good.
Is it time for quotey quotes?
No, quotey quotes is at the end. We do ratings first, but I don't know if Kim or Steph have any more points. Or you, Kelly.
I think I'm all talked out for this episode. People know where I stand. Let's just leave it at that.
All right. Well, Steph, I want you to rate it first, please.
Okay. This is a fine, acceptable episode. Like, it's fine.
Yeah,
like there's nothing special about it. It's just fine. I can deal with the diary, the voiceover, the
oversized writing.
Because she's a tween or whatever. She's dramatic. She's there to get on Big Sister's nerves. I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing, other than that, there's nothing. And I mean, I like Harmony and Harmony's minions and the unicorn was a, you know, the gag. It going from the beginning of the episode and then the end. I guess I give it 9 out of 10 lame. What? I mean it's not great, but it's
nine.
Okay, well, I mean, I can't. There's nothing to take points away. That's how I look at it. I look at every episode is good unless there's something terrible that takes points off. And I can't really. There's nothing really.
You're reading it on a bias because you've seen it. That's my personal opinion. But anyway, not okay. To discredit anything.
Kim,
but I can't.
There's no way you can give it a 9.
Well, I can't really give it a 7 because it's. I mean, there's. It's just fine.
Weren't you upset the first time you saw it? Like, who the heck is this person?
No.
No. But
like I said, I probably didn't stop watching until I got to a satisfactory point.
Right.
So okay. I felt.
Understood. That's what I certainly did.
Kim, I think it's you and I that are in an alternate universe. Because Steph is giving an episode a 9, where I am going to give it... By the way, Steph, did you finish with your rating system? I apologize if I could...
I was just going to give it, like, 9 out of 10 lame diary entries. I mean, I don't know.
Yes. Well, again, I think this is bizarro potential cast world. Because Steph is giving an episode a 9 that I'm about to give a 4.
Really?
That's right. 4, who gives a shit? Out of 10.
I hate to be nitpicky, Illyria, but isn't it who gives a shits? Because it is a polarizing thing.
Let me tell you what's polarizing.
Lore.
Oh, I know. You just see what I did there. I know. Yeah, sorry, folks. This was... Listen, Harmony, yay. Spike giving her a new plan, yay. Giles getting a new thing, yay. And then I get one more yay for Willow being hot, and that's it. You know? Mm-hmm. She was especially hot this episode.
Mm-hmm. She was.
My old chess buddy.
She sounded much more adult to me because she didn't have that high, weird, I don't know where to breathe, part of my sentence.
So full of swears for this episode. But yeah, that's my rating.
Nice. Well, I think I'm a bit more generous considering I was very harsh. I still going to give it a pass. I was going to give it 6 out of 10. 6 out of 10 unicorns. I liked it because it's part of the show that I like, but everything that I'm taking points away for has everything to do with Dawn. Because to me, I don't understand her yet. I don't like how they introduced her. Like, we're the dumb ones for being like, okay, like you guys, don't you remember? Oh, Willow, yeah, we're best friends. Oh, Xander, he's so hot. You know, like, whatever.
It makes you feel like the show is mocking you?
Yeah, because it's like, I've watched this show now from the beginning. And if I were watching live, like, week to week, I would have been like, what the hell? Like, why are you introducing a brand new character and making it out like this person has been there from the beginning? I've been there from the beginning. It just...
Really, Kim? You've been on the show?
Yeah, in my heart.
Where it counts, KJ. Where it counts.
Exactly. It just...
Are you the, like, missing member of the Scoobies? Just, like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they even refer to themselves as Scoobies. Ugh, don't even. Don't even. This is the exact same reaction I had to Nikki and Paolo. So, it's...
Who the hell are Nikki and Paolo?
Exactly. Who the hell is Dawn? Who the hell is Pat? They're all, they're all here. Yeah, 6 out of 10.
Alright, I would say I'm in between Steph and Kim for this episode, and I'm gonna give this 7 out of 10 How to Be Evil books.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, that's what we thought. And yep. I'm sure we'll have a message from Gabby at some point in the episode. letting us know what she thought very deeply about this.
That we will let you know about now.
Dear Diary, I hate that I miss talking about the real me with Kim, Steph, and Illyrio. But oh well. I wonder how they liked it. I bet Kim didn't like it. I mean, Spike was in it, and she doesn't really like Spike. And I don't understand why she doesn't like Spike, because Spike is... Oh, he's so dreamy. He's so smooth and cool and funny, even. He's the best. Let's see. So, yeah, I don't think she liked it. Let me see. How about Illyrio? I don't know. There wasn't enough Anya in the episode, but something that I am really loving and that I think is so cool is how much Illyrio is really liking Wesley now. And, wrong show. I forget stuff sometimes. Now, Steph. I'm pretty sure Steph loved this episode because Steph really likes torture, and this episode was complete torture. I mean, I think it's funny that she loves it. Torture, that is. But wait a minute. If we could torture Dawn, that would be the best. Yeah. I think I just went to a dark place. Anyway, yeah, so I missed out, but I'll be back next time, and I don't know, I guess I'd have to rate this episode, so I guess I'll use my exclamation rating system, and on a scale of what? To hills, yeah! I give this a WTF! Peace out!
There you go. I gave you a spot to edit.
Thank you. Wow, can you believe that's what Gabby thought of the episode?
Gabby, I'm shocked. So curse
words. He or she has gotten herself into a real predicament. Finally catching up on The Office. Because, I got Hulu now. That's right, America. You can't keep me from Hulu. I got it. I mean, I'm paying for it, but I'm finagling an IP address now. Booyah.
Until Ina had to get Hulu.
Nice. All right. You can contact us. You can call us at 270-40-BUFFY. You can send us an email at...
Potentialcast at gmail.com. Sorry, I forgot what it was
helps,
for a second.
It helps if you sound like an alligator when you're writing down the email address. You can follow us on the Twitter. We're at Potentialcast. Potentialcast.com is the website where we release the show notes, and all that awesome stuff. You can subscribe there. You can subscribe in iTunes. You can subscribe in Downcast, which is fantastic. And no, they don't pay us to say that, but maybe one day they will retroactively. Who knows?
Yeah.
The Facebook group is where it's at.
$3.99 back for the app.
Yeah. Listen, I got it so early it was $1.99, and it's worth every single penny.
It is. I got it for $1.99 too. I love it.
Whoop whoop.
Downcast. Canadians get it cheaper.
Forget that stupid podcast app. It's horrible.
Oh, it's terrible.
It was so disappointing.
Oh, the worst. That was Tech Corner on Potentialcast. I hope you enjoyed our new segment. You can go to the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/potentialcast. Keep it spoiler free, or else somebody is going to get written into a show about how they got killed by a podcaster.
What?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Oh, I didn't even mean to do that. Exactly. So
aren't we fun, guys? I think we're a lot of fun.
I just want to say that at this point, I believe it's quote time, and I absolutely must go first.
Okay.
Go.
I watched Passions with Spike. Let us never speak of it again.
I had that one written down.
Me too.
Well, now you can use the one from earlier.
I'll use my Anya one. Can I trade in the children for more cash?
I'll go. He says I'm like a kid sister. Here comes the judge. But sometimes, when he looks at me, I feel like he sees me as I am. As a woman.
With ice cream all over her face.
Yeah.
Oh.
Step on me?
I'm trying to get to the quotes on IMDb.
Oh, cheater! Cheater! Pumpkin eater!
Yep.
You stole mine, so...
I did?
No, I did.
No, did.
I am your quote reckoning.
Wait, which one did Kim just do? The one about the trading it in for babies?
Yeah.
Trading the babies for cash? Oh. She and Willow are both witches. They do spells and stuff, which is so much cooler than slaying. I told Mom one time I wish they'd teach me some of
things they do together.
Some of the things they do together. And then she got really quiet and made me go upstairs.
What you doing? What are you doing here? Cat loiter. There's no loitering. That's why I'm a cat. Quiet. See? Cats in the cupboard. But they find you there anyway. And it hurts. Please make it stop. Shut up. Shut up. They'll hear you. Shh. I know you. Curds and whey. I know what you are. You don't belong here.
Ooh. Foreshadow much?
I hope so. Awesome.
Giles, are you sure about this? Why shouldn't I be? Well, aside from the fact that most magic shop owners in Sunnydale have the life expectancy of a Spinal Tap drummer, have you ever run a store before?
Giles can That's do anything.
Funny. Giles can do anything. Sell a book. An Eye of Newt.
Look at you, Harm, all puffed up and mighty, thinking you're the new bat, big bear. It's a, well, let's face it, it's adorable.
Where's my other favorite one?
I love condescending Spike. I love Spike in general.
She still thinks I'm Little Miss Nobody. Just her dumb little sister. Boy, is she in for a surprise.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I know. Isn't it?
I don't know when it happens. I don't know how much longer we have to wait. I have no clue.
I forget.
Okay, so now you guys are admitting that there's something happening?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. There's something up. There's something fishy going on.
There is something fishy.
Is it herring?
Unfortunately. I prefer swordfish, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not much of a fish eater, which shocks everyone when they know I'm Portuguese. Mm. Boy, talk about stereotypes.
Not a sushi fan.
I love the sushi.
Mm.
It's weird. I'm a contradiction.
Yeah.
Well, everyone.
I had a hurricane roll recently. Delicious. Oh, yeah.
Hurricane roll?
Yeah.
Are you making a horrible joke? You know, people died, Kelly Jo.
No, my friend ordered one, and I just glared at her, and I was like, really, Francesca?
Really?
After this hurricane?
Francesca. That's a great name. Kelly Jo, where can we hear you?
You can hear me on ObserverCast.
When you actually, you know, decide to do it, really?
What?
You know, because you procrastinate so much.
On what? Oh, the show.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sing our voicemail. When we eventually do record, we actually just recorded on Sunday.
Yay!
Record on a very regular basis, actually.
Well, because I'm sure you're recording more regularly than I do with Jamie for Yip Yip Podcast.
Oh, you're talking about Bluthcast, aren't you?
Isn't that great? Like, you get some awesome things started, and then life happens, and then it never gets going.
Yeah, then you get a job. This is what happens with me. I got a job that I didn't think would take that much effort. But then by the time you get home and you've dealt with about 50...
You're exhausted.
Yeah, 50 old Jewish people
sometimes
a day.
Sometimes I get home from work, I'm too tired to pick up the kids. I just leave them at school and daycare overnight. I know I'm not supposed to say that, but... Whatever. Come get me, coppers. I got Hulu.
In Canada!
In Canada. It's unheard of.
Ugh. Or you could follow me on the Twitter that I've been a little more active on recently.
Yay.
Twitter.com/KellyJoe562. There's a link to my podcast there.
Yay. Well, thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. We were sad not to have you live last time.
Yeah.
And it's good to have you on with us now. You are the originator of GAX.
I am.
The most awesome acronym in the history of acronyms.
It is.
It's much cooler than that AIDS one.
Yes, it's much.
Wow.
Well, it's true. It totally ruined that appetite suppressant company's business. Remember AIDS?
No.
AYDES.
Exactly.
Exactly. Ah, yes. Try new peanut butter AIDS. It was a real thing. Poor guys. All right. I think that's enough. Everyone, thank you very much. And hopefully next time I'll have a little bit more to say. We apologize retroactively. Mm-hmm. And
just blame it on me.
Never. It's not your fault. It's Dawn's fault. It's always Dawn's fault.
Exactly.
It always has been Dawn's fault.
Remember in season 2 when she mucked everything up by finding out Angel was a vampire?
That bitch. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Hey, don't you want to know what the next episode is?
Oh, yeah.
Not really.
Yes.
Not
after the next. What are we doing next time, Steph?
Next time is The Replacement.
Ooh, I can't wait to watch that and record myself as I do. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye. Like Dawn's the replacement daughter that everybody wanted Buffy to be.
No.
Let's hope not. I don't want any more Dawn episodes.
Moving their microphone.
I'm sorry, my mic fell off.
Oh no, are you okay?
Yeah, it just hit the ground. I was trying to let the cat in the house.
Ugh.
I'll stop.
Aww.
Then that has to watch me podcast.
I understand.